fake news. It's the quick and easy way to label something that is lacking facts or that you simply disagree with. The question has become whether fake news can trap people into a fake belief. Our next guest was part of a team who explored that theory, which resulted in some very interesting findings. Here with the results of the study, Fake News on Social Media, People Believe What They Want to Believe When It Makes No Sense at All, is the study's lead author from the McComb School of Business at the University of Texas at Austin, Professor Patricia Moravec. How are you today, Professor?
I'm doing well. How are you, Chris?
Great to have you here. To learn more about the McComb School of Business at the University of Texas at Austin, mccombs.utexas.edu. We've linked directly to Professor's study as well. Talk about the mechanics before we get into some of the results. What was the structure, the setup, and the execution of the study?
So this was an experiment done with students, and the reason for that was that not only were we interested in the behavioral results, so whether people could detect news and whether this fake news flag worked as intended, but we were also interested in the cognition that was occurring when people were presented with this news and it aligned with their beliefs. So we used EEG, or electroencephalography, to actually study the brain activity during this. And so in that case, it's a lot easier to recruit students to a lab than adults. And so what would happen is they'd come into the lab, they'd do some demographic questions and some pre-study questions, and then we'd get the headset put on, and they'd go through, in this case, 50 different headlines, 20 of which were true and verifiably true at that time, 20 were verifiably false, and then 10 were considered controls, where they were more obviously true.
Okay. And looking at the study, too, the brain activity, I mean, I guess it just, I've been saying this for a while, based upon my personal experience, it seems like the potential of social media, which could have brought together different sides for discussion, debate, mutual learning, expansion of ideas, we all seem to just be a bunch of head nodders on social media.
Well, when we're on social media, we're in this hedonic mindset where we're essentially passively pursuing entertainment. We're not even really actively pursuing it. And so the problem here is that we're not really in the right mindset to think critically. And if you consider these discussions where you could have people potentially change sides or discuss complex issues, we need to be in a more of a critical mindset to be doing that. And so social media, as designed right now, just isn't really appropriate for news consumption or discussions like this, at least not for most people.
So hypothetically, I mean, I know the study used actual and some, as you said, some false news headlines. Given the reactions that you found, could people also be led by false comments to true stories? You know, if there's a true story there and someone posts a comment on that posting, that's a false interpretation of that true news story.
I didn't study that, but I can absolutely see how, you know, other people's comments could certainly influence our belief, especially in this case. What I did find is that whether it's fake news or not, we're much more inclined to believe headlines that align with our prior beliefs. So confirmation bias is huge. So if someone posts a comment that is somewhat contrary to what's actually being said in the article, but it happens to align with your beliefs, then sure, I could see someone being more likely to believe that, even though it's fake.
As far as how were the reactions measured and what were the final results? As far as was it a very obvious lean to people falling for the fake news?
Yeah, unfortunately it was.
Oh.
So in this case, people were asked on a 7-point Likert scale how credible, how truthful, and how believable they found the headline. And so I considered someone correct when they answered with slightly believable, believable, or extremely believable, and it was true. Or if they answered not at all believable, not very believable, and it was false. So they just had to be somewhat correct, right? But if they said unsure, I counted that as wrong.
Okay.
And so in this assessment of people's accuracy in saying whether this headline was true or false, unfortunately, only 17% of the participants did better than 50% correct.
Oops.
And 6% did at 50% correct. So it's clear that the majority of our participants here were not very good at detecting truth or fiction.
Hypothetically, then, if this is a comfort zone for the person, that fake news story, do they wind up spending more time in that fake element, and that decreases the possibility of them, of their false belief being countered by a second, third, or fourth source?
So what we ended up seeing was that we did measure how much time people spent on each headline along with their cognitive activity. And what we saw was that when someone believed or the headline aligned with their prior beliefs and it was flagged as false, so this flag was intended to help people believe something less, right? And so when they were in this condition where they wanted to believe it but it was flagged as false, they did show increased time spent considering the headline. It just didn't change their actual belief in it. And so the flag didn't work as intended. But based on how much time they spent and the cognitive activity, it does look that, like, people did have some cognitive dissonance and they did think more about it, but perhaps the flag wasn't strong enough. So this leads me to think that the flag could be designed differently, or some intervention for fake news could be designed differently in a way that's just more effective with maybe stronger language. But it's clear that there's some potential there because people did show evidence of thinking more.
Talking to Professor Patricia Moravec about the study Fake News on Social Media. People believe what they want to believe when it makes no sense at all. She is from the McCombs School of Business at the University of Texas at Austin. McCombs.utexas.edu is their website. We'll also link to the report as well on our website. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Reading this study and the report and the results, and plus all the related current event news that ties into this concept we're talking about here, I'm not going to obviously divulge where it is. For some reason, a while back, I stumbled on this website that lets you create a fake news story. You can incorporate a photo to make it look more legitimate. Two words about that, by the way, copyright infringement. And apparently this website would host your story for a couple of days. You give a URL, and you go post it on your social media. And as they said on the website, have fun fooling your friends and family. Well, given what we've seen that can happen with fake news stories, that's probably not a good idea to have something like that sitting out there.
Wow. So part of the problem is we have people waking up every morning in the United States and in other countries who just, their job is to create fake news.
Yeah.
And then they get money from the clicks. And so the fact that this website is making it easier for a layperson to do that, I mean, people think that, I think people tend to think that others won't find satirical or this funny information believable. But unfortunately, even studies beyond mine have shown that people fall for all kinds of fake news.
Oh, sure. I mean, people would post something. There's a parody satire website, The Onion.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you have even an intermediate awareness of current events, you'll know that it's parody and satire. But if you post a link to one of The Onion stories on your Twitter feed or Facebook, you will find people who buy into who don't get the joke and think it's serious.
Right. And if they're not aware of the fact that The Onion is a site for satire, then, you know, it's going to be harder for them to detect that. And it's even harder now with some of the news that we see where, I mean, I'm not sure if you've seen, but The Onion has reposted some stories from recent years and been like, oops, we predicted this, when really, you know, it's just kind of what's going on right now. Some of the stuff that we see is just crazy.
Yeah, the truth is crazy enough to believe, never mind the crazy that we're trying to have fed to us for being truth. Now, I mean, Facebook, all the platforms are begrudgingly stepping forward and doing what at least they think they should be doing,
right,
as far as self-policing. A lot of people have a problem with Facebook third-partying the sniffers for the truth and the fact-checkers because, well, I mean, fact-checkers are humans, and humans have bias, too. So it's almost like the old joke about the interpreter. How do you know if you don't speak the language that the interpreter is interpreting what you're actually saying to that person that is being interpreted?
Yeah, and I see that as a problem that I've seen in some of my other studies where people just don't believe third-party fact-checkers. But I think one of the problems here is they tend to not believe it when it doesn't align with their confirmation bias. So since we're so comfortable believing what we already believe, if someone's coming in and telling us that that's not correct, it's a lot easier for us to discount that person than it is for us to discount our deeply held beliefs. And so even though third-party fact-checkers, not all of them are great, but a lot of them are you know, trying at least to be independent. So I'd say it's better than nothing, but unfortunately this confirmation bias and what we just want to believe, our deeply rooted beliefs, I think they really do drive our interpretation of a lot of these interventions. And you said that these social media platforms are begrudgingly taking actions, but we know that Facebook has been loath to take responsibility from the very beginning. And so at least Twitter is starting to block political ads, which won't do as much as they hope, but at least it's a step in the right direction. I think Facebook has quite a ways to go.
Would it be as simple, for example, if I said something false on a commercial radio station or stations, as this happens to be the case, and it is a violation of the FCC regulations, believe me, the fines are sizable. I mean, you could be fined as a radio station if you imitate an emergency alert system as a joke. Mm-hmm. So oversight like that doesn't happen with social media, and social media as a platform now, I would say, is on a parallel with commercial TV and commercial radio. I'm not saying for government to control everything that the people do on social media, but would it be a bad idea to make a penalty if social media fails in their self-policing?
You know, I think that is a good option for us right now. I think given that we're in this hedonic mindset, we're not thinking critically on social media, and it's not designed for us to. It's really not designed in a way that's appropriate for us to be consuming news. So there should be some fine, some penalty for the platform not taking action against fake news, especially when they know it exists. And especially when, as you said, these fines and penalties exist in other media spaces. And I think it's just time to see social media platforms as sources of media. They are platforms in that same way.
Even though, truth be told, if you forget the story or didn't see the movie, Facebook started as a dating site, technically.
Right. Right. But as we have seen, it's become so much more. And so I think, you know, they need to be legally responsible in some way for what they're allowing on the platform.
It's an interesting report, and hopefully you'll go to the link we have to check it out, Fake News on Social Media. People believe what they want to believe when it makes no sense at all. Co-authored as a lead author by my guest here this morning, who is from the McComb School of Business at the University of Texas at Austin, Professor Patricia Moravec. Thanks so much for really an interesting study of an issue that a lot of people are buying fake news about, actually, and thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.